This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Does much to stop the spread.
Full team coverage, helping us get through this pandemic together.
Dump out of this.
You're on, Dory. What was going on? Okay. Nicole, how are you up to?
What happened? You want me to explain what happened?
Please.
So, sure. So during the top of the hour, Nicole and I were talking on the phone, and out of an abundance of caution, because I trust you implicitly, Sean, I trust Andrew, who's in from noon to one, but I never know if somebody else, some ne'er-do-wells, are hanging out in the control room with you guys.
Sure.
And so if I'm having a phone conversation, you can hear it on my end on the microphone.
That's true. And I hear you and Nicole talking a lot.
And as you know, there are many forces against us there in the building. And so if any of those ne'er-do-wells were in the control room with you, I wouldn't want them to have heard what I was talking to Nicole about. So I turned off my microphone while I was on the phone with Nicole. But then I start the radio show and I forget to turn my microphone back on.
Yeah.
That's a rookie mistake.
That's happened like three times already.
You're acting like we were talking crap, but we weren't talking crap. We were just talking work.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's all we were doing. I agree.
Dory, are you doing okay? Because it was just, yesterday or Wednesday when Nicole and I were panicked and you had to come running to the microphone?
Well, that was Nicole's fault. That was Nicole's fault. She knew that I was sitting out on my deck, and all of a sudden, she goes, you know what time it is? And then she says, oh, the music's playing. I go, no, it's not. You're goofing on me. I've got a clock in my head. So to answer your question, Sean,
so
no.
How is that Nicole's fault if you thought she was
really
goofing
sure.
on you, man? You thought she was goofing on you, Mr. Clock in your head?
Because she should have been more definitive.
Oh, I see.
She should have been more forceful.
Oh.
And said, get back in there.
Well, how do you explain last week?
My job is to keep a cool head about this.
Yeah, last week, as I recall, Sean, that was mostly your fault.
Oh, so it's gone all through all three of us now.
Yes.
Okay.
And the next one will be Inslee's fault.
Nice segue somehow. If that was one.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah.
Nice.
Right. So, sorry about that. I don't like sending you into a panic, and I apologize for that. But I was actually talking to you, Sean. You just couldn't hear me. I said that the president is supposed to be talking from the White House soon. And if he's talking about China, I don't want to carry it. But if he's talking about Minneapolis, I want to hear it. So do we have a line to the White House? If Trump starts speaking,
we do have a line to the White House. If Trump starts speaking, okay. And I'll be monitoring that, sir.
Okay, I appreciate it. And then Jay Inslee and Nicole, did you send the audio last night to help getting Inslee on the show next week?
Oh, you know what? Our the system we used to record the hours. Anyway, uh-huh. No, I didn't because it was not functioning. It's functioning now, so I should be able to send it today.
Oh, okay.
lots of technical difficulties. It's totally true. Sean,
true?
Is that true? Sean?
What?
Sterlitz was down yesterday.
Oh, Sterlitz was down for like at least an hour or two or so. I don't know. Or maybe, something like that. It was down for a while.
Okay.
Oh, I see Trump walking to the podium.
Seriously?
Yeah,
he's going to talk China.
Oh, it might be an old. I think it's stock footage.
No, it's live.
It's live.
President Trump's meeting with CEOs on reopening after announcing prepared actions against China. Sean, I might literally dump out of this in 20 seconds, but let me just hear the very beginning of it, okay?
Yeah, sure. Here we go.
All right,
foreign nationals from China who we have identified as potential security risks. I am directing my administration to begin the process of eliminating policy exemptions that give Hong Kong different and special treatment.
And finally,
oh, that's not live.
No, that was earlier today. Yeah, so he said he's taking steps to sanction officials who are going after Hong Kong's autonomy. He has identified, or our nation's security intelligence has identified individuals who are security risks to our country. He announced he's getting the U.S. out of World Health Organization, which I think is a great move because they were co-conspirators with China on what China has inflicted upon the world with this coronavirus. And then you look at Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, announced they're reopening the state on June 8th. And Jay Inslee still can't make the announcement for Washington. That's what I just say. This seems to be like a power trip to keep us under control here. And again, I know why. Labor unions in our state this morning and other leftist organizations, they released a poll that says people support an income tax. They call it a capital gains tax, but it is an income tax. I have definitively proven that. And so the push is on for an income tax in Washington. And they're going to try to slip it in by calling it a capital gains tax at first. But I truly think that a long, long, long time ago, this shifted from public health to a maniacal desire. And, you know, people say, are you really that cynical? Do you really believe that the governor would destroy over a million jobs and business owners because of other purposes, other goals like a state income tax? Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that. I think that mitigation was good up front. I think it is still good going forward to a certain extent, but not to the expense of shutting down our entire economy, destroying our economy, 20% unemployment. They can't handle unemployment claims because of that disaster that they call employment security in Olympia, run by Susie Levine. So let me review, since we have to carry the Inslee presser at 2:30 again today, three straight days. He yesterday was taking questions, and a couple of days ago, a Seattle Times reporter said, do you stand by Susie Levine, the head of ESD? And Inslee completely ignored the question. He said, I stand against the criminals who did this. So Essex Porter at Channel 7, he yesterday tried to pin Inslee down, and I find his answer to be just absolutely remarkable.
Would you be clear about your position on Commissioner Levine? Does she continue to have your full confidence?
Yes. She and the department are doing a very difficult job now, and I think have had some recent success. I think she announced today that the department has been able to stop, intercept, or recover about $300 million from this criminal syndicate that is attacking America right now.
Okay, I got to pause this. So first of all, that gives us a clue. They said, oh, several hundred million. And I said, is that $200 million or $900 million? It sounds like it's closer to $900 million. They've recovered $300 million, and they still have stolen hundreds of millions from the taxpayers of this state. I mean, this is a security breach of unimaginable proportions. Our state unemployment department, we have thousands of people who have been trying to get benefits for months and can't get through because of what a mess it is. That alone, you should fire the director. But then the director oversees a security breach that sends a half a billion or more to out-of-state bank accounts. We wired money to criminals out of state. And maybe some Norton software? Should we get some Norton down there? They said, well, we spent $44 million on software upgrades recently. Well spent. Nice job. Did you fire the people involved in your IT? Did you fire them? If we sent a half billion or more out of the country? But then Jay Inslee says, well, she's recovered $300 million, but we've lost $300 million still on top of that? And that's acceptable to you as the leader of the state? I mean, this was all just bizarre to me. Bizarre.
Not the only state being attacked. That's some good news. Under her leadership, the department has also been very aggressive in the last few days, putting in a host of other measures to reduce the risk from these criminal syndicates.
Time out. So you are praising her because they've put in a host of measures. I can't even say this without laughing. You are praising her because she has put in a host of measures in the last few days to try to prevent a repeat of Nigerians stealing $500 million from us. Well, I have to say, Governor, you certainly set a high bar of expectations for your cabinet members.
And I have been advised of those, and they are multiple layered and they're technologically adept. I can't share those with you, obviously, because we don't want to tell the criminals what our strategies are. But I think they have been considerable.
Yeah, we don't want to help the criminals. Can we wire you money to Nigeria? Okay. And where'd you lose your job? The Wallingford McDonald's. Okay. And you want us to wire the money to, it's a Nigerian bank account. Okay. All right. You got it. It's on its way. But she's put in a host of measures the last few days. Susie Levine got the job. I told her it's up on My Northwest from a couple days ago if you want to go read it. She donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Barack Obama's presidential campaigns. She bundled millions of dollars to other Democratic candidates and causes. And then Barack Obama makes her the U.S. ambassador to Switzerland and Liechtenstein. And then once you give enough money to the Democratic Party, you have not only donated, but you've bought a job for life, apparently. So after she's the ambassador to Liechtenstein, then Jay Inslee says, come and run employment security for us. But Susie, I'm going to put you in charge of employment security. But if you can, try not to send $500 million to criminals out of state. Then 2 years later, you sent billions to $500 million to criminals out of state. That's okay. It's tax dollars. Plenty more where that came from. We'll just get an income tax. Thanks, Susie. You've actually helped. You've helped the cause. Dan Springer is the Northwest correspondent for Fox News. Good reporter. And Dan asked about how Jay Inslee is playing politics with the death numbers in our state. Great, great question. Something we talked about extensively. The Freedom Foundation said that Jay Inslee had exaggerated the death total attributed to COVID by 13%. Here's that.
Today, the Department of Health Statistics Manager told me that they're in the process of removing cases where people tested positive for COVID but later died from something else. They know of 2 drug overdoses and 2 gunshot deaths and 30 other cases where people had other grave conditions like late-stage cancer or COVID was not listed as a cause or even a factor on the death certificate. I've heard no one say the actual number of people killed is okay or that this is a call to be irresponsible, as you claimed was said last week. Your reaction to that report suggests to some you are the one playing politics with the science and data. How do you respond?
Well, listen, I guess what I would like to say is that the actual number of COVID deaths may actually be higher than has been reported because we have a number of deaths that did not take place in hospitals. There were not autopsies. No one knows the exact number right now. It could be higher.
And then he said, or it could be lower. So I say, you're the data daddy. You've crushed the economy in our state because you say you're driven by data. And now you are confronted at your press conference with the fact that they have people who died from gunshot wounds on your tally of COVID-19 deaths in our state. And as I said a few days ago, maybe the gunman coated the bullets with coronavirus before they fired them into the victims. And so maybe it was a joint cause of death, gunshot and COVID-19. But the data daddy is confronted. You're telling us you're driven by data, and now you're saying, oh, the actual number of deaths might be higher, might be lower. But you're telling us the death count is one of your metrics, one of your dials that you're using so people can get back to their life. And then Jay said this.
And I just have to push back a little bit. You said that nobody has sort of attacked the need to deal with this. Well, in fact, they have. I think it's very regrettable that they have. We've had public officials who've called this a hoax. A hoax.
Okay. Now he's talking about Trump, who never said that coronavirus was a hoax. The Washington Post reported that. And then the next day, the Washington Post ran a correction and said, yeah, Trump didn't call coronavirus a hoax. He called how the Democrats and many in the media are dealing with it as a hoax. But he never called coronavirus a hoax. But then what happens? Everybody runs with the original fake news. Nobody cares about the correction that proves the news was fake. And then they repeat the lie a billion times. And then Jay Inslee repeats the lie yesterday. It says, we have people who call it a hoax. No. The Washington Post had to correct that, Jay. So are you going to correct it? And, you know, if Twitter is going to, you know, say, we're going to fact check all of Trump's tweets, are you fact checking all of Jay's tweets, too? And if you're only going to fact check one party, that's why you're going to lose your protections. So, and the beat goes on. Okay, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
So what is it going to feel like when we do reopen the state? You can go back to restaurants and bars and be with your family. This was really interesting. One of my really good friends, Paul Moyer, he went to visit his kids down in Texas, which is mostly reopened. And Paul said it was dramatic to go from the lockdown of here the last couple of months to a state where there's no social distancing right now. And I want to hear about it. So we're going to talk to him next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, businesses all around King County, Snohomish County is asking for a variance. They want to start getting things open as soon as possible. Pierce County still in phase one. And businesses and the economy just getting destroyed. And people just want to get out of the house. And one of my good friends, who's been one of the biggest proponents of getting things reopened, because he looks at data and science with a keener eye than our governor, is Paul Moyer, one of my partners on our Seahawks pre- and post-game broadcast, and he was just on a couple weeks ago. It's good to have you back, Paul.
Well, thank you. Yes, as you know, that was the highest-rated show segment you've had, and well, it certainly was higher than Brock Heward and Dave Wyman's. That we do know. That's people, my data.
Yeah, no, I got a warning from Arbitron, and they said that I have to have you on a limited number of times because it's just unfair to my competition.
It breaks the system, too. Yes, exactly. I agree.
So here's what I thought was interesting. You have wanted an end to the lockdown as soon as possible. And not just throw things back to December of last year, but, you know, with some reasonable precautions. Mm-hmm. And you, earlier this week, you went to visit your adult kids, your daughter and son-in-law, your son. They both live in the Dallas area. And I got some funny texts from you about going out in Texas, where it is the Wild West once again, and things are wide open. So just tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got back this week. You know, we were there the previous week, and it is weird because it's like going to another country compared to the state of Washington. You know, my office, our business is in downtown Seattle. I'm looking out right now, and there's about six cars on the road, and I'm right there in the heart of Sixth Street and Union and University, so it's normally pretty packed. You know, with, again, no restaurants, no bars open, and there they do. And, what, you know, Dory, when you said, hey, I want things to open up as soon as possible, I want to do it as safe as possible. I think there's a common sense to it, and I truly believe Dallas has it. When I got there, I said, wow, we went from what I would call 20 miles an hour to 100. You know, we're all sudden, there are some restaurants where there's a lot of people. They don't have 25% capacity in their restaurants. Some of them do. So they're still a little bit all over the board. Some of them spread you out 12 feet from tables. Others, it's a little bit closer. So you go into each place and you have the option. That's the beauty. You have the option on what are you comfortable with. And I'll be honest, there was one that I thought it was too crowded. And my kids weren't that comfortable. You know, they said, wow, you know, I'm not going there. Now, it was mostly young people, and I think that's the group that probably gets away with it okay.
Yeah.
But it was normal. I mean, people were normal. You were being served. But they had hand sanitizers. You know, some people had masks on serving you, some didn't. It just, again, if it felt normal without being 100 miles an hour. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, in 2019, but it felt normal. There were people out actually walking, you know, and smiling at each other. Not like here where everybody you think is, you know, the enemy, you know, when you're walking down the street.
Right.
Very different.
Well, one of the texts you sent, and I just thought this was funny, because I think we have all become so paranoid because government and many in the media want us to be, for reasons that, you know, I've talked about a lot on the show. But you said when you first got down there, I'm actually uncomfortable with Dallas social distancing. You'd swear it was 2019. They aren't even trying. I'd like something in between, you said.
Yes.
But going from being locked into our houses to upstate where they have just completely unleashed things, that has to give you like emotional whiplash.
That's the part where, again, it's just you went from this, you're actually walking, you know, to all of a sudden you just went on, you know, a 100 mile an hour speed chase. And that's what it felt like, because I'm not used to being around a lot of people. And I'm going, wow, what am I comfortable with? The weird part was on the plane. You know, everybody had to have a face mask on. By the way, really hard to breathe for 4.5 hours in a face mask. It's uncomfortable. I changed flights on one because American Airlines didn't really have what Alaska has, where they don't allow anybody really to sit next to each other. American Airlines did. They had rows where people could sit together. So I had to change the first class, so my wife and I had our own seat. That's what I was comfortable with. And the nice thing is that there were some options to that along the way. You know, for Dallas, it wasn't that it was chaotic. It wasn't. I mean, people respected everybody's space and all that. It's just when you went from nothing to all of a sudden seeing civilization again. And by the way, it was great. What it taught me was, man, we need that social piece as human beings. I didn't realize it because we haven't had it until all of a sudden when we went out and I went, God, that was nice.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a better mood, and it wasn't even because the weather was great. It was just being around and seeing people smile and laugh. I heard laughter. I haven't heard laughter in a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of weird senses that pop up when you haven't been around it.
Well, and you were seeing your kids, which I know is the greatest joy in your life. But do you feel that they are at any greater danger living down there now than our kids, my kids, living up here?
No. And again, to me, the danger, in my belief, is it's not the kids, you know. And certainly I don't want anybody to get it. I mean, I don't want to get the flu, or I don't want to get a cold. I don't want to get, you know, the coronavirus. And again, I'm not trying to put those in the same category. I just don't want them to get any of that.
Yeah.
No, I think they're smart about it. You know, it's not like, again, just because they're younger, you know, in their early 30s and late 20s, that they just go and say, oh, we're going to go to a pool party. They're not comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. You know, but they want to be out in a park walking their dog. It was so weird. The dog park was closed, but the parks were open. Go figure. You couldn't have off-leash parking or a dog park, but you could go to a park. So they were frustrated with just the common sense of it too. So no, I'm not worried about them. I mean, they've got to all do their thing because, again, at some point we all have to come out, right? I mean, we have to come out at some point. I'm comfortable with social distancing. I'm comfortable still being that, you know, 6 feet away. And there's some people I'm around a lot that I'm comfortable being around closer. But no, I'm not. You know, they seem to be. It's not completely normal. But they feel like it's normal because they can actually go out, they can walk, they can get some social piece to it without it being too crazy.
You know what I'm going to have to come to grips with, and I guess emotionally I haven't begun to process this yet, but I have to come to understand that you and I have hugged for maybe the last time ever.
No, that's not true, Dory.
Well, no. It's never gonna
ever. We're never going to hug again.
No,
never.
No.
Really?
Are you kidding? In this age of the Rona, are you kidding me?
Okay.
If they get a vaccine, then maybe. But I'm pretty sure Brock Heward's rubbed my feet in a restaurant for the last.
No. Time. Well, that's creepy again. I mean, look. You know, we'll fist pump, I think, maybe at some point. Look, it is different, Dory. There's no question. And I think as much as anything, it's the emotional part coming out of this. I just don't think, you know, we can't go again from 0 to 100. You know, my office that, you know, we're working on, you know, I'm trying to get them prepared emotionally and mentally to come back and be around people because they haven't been. Most of them have been working at home remotely. And so, you know, phase two, I'm going to have half the people rotating around and eventually, you know, hopefully get the whole office. But even then, I mean, I've got to build things where, you know, people have their own 6 feet space. I think social distancing is going to be around for after phase three, phase four. So a lot of it's emotional.
Yeah. And I'm doing my show from home forevermore.
Are you really? Good for you.
That's my plan.
By the way, it sounds the same.
I know.
Might even sound better. I don't know. You're free. You seem freer. I like that.
Better. Yeah. All right, Paul. I just wanted to do the little Texas Washington compare contrast. So I appreciate you popping on with me this afternoon.
Please let them do what somewhat of Texas is doing. It can happen. People can do this rationally, common sense. We can do this. And it's time. So praying to get that done. All right, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, good talk with you. Paul Moyer joining us. Your thoughts, you can text me at 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Close to 20% unemployment in our state in the private sector. Government is shrinking 0%. And this has been one of my big problems with the economics of this, that government can wipe out the private sector and Jay Inslee still has not cut one penny from the state budget. In fact, they've added to the state budget. And the government is not facing economic realities that are 1.1 million unemployed and all the business owners who have been destroyed. And then I see a story, King 5, Eric Wilkinson is the reporter. Great story. In Edmonds, not only have they not laid off any city employees, but a bunch of them who are at home are getting hazard pay of 6%. And here's just a little bit from that King 5 story.
I think the reasons were solid. I think the thinking was logical. And I think most cities arrived at exactly the same solution. it certainly isn't an Edmonds-specific program.
That's the Public Works Director, Phil Williams, in Edmonds. I'm going to talk to him right after the top of the hour because this ticks me off. Why should the private sector get destroyed by government and government says, oh, we'll actually pay you more during this and won't and hasn't had any layoffs? It's really unbelievable to me. Okay, so we'll do that right after the news here at the top of the hour. And then I also understand, Nicole, do we have some breaking news just coming into the big show?
Well, yes, it's been breaking this morning. I got word of it about an hour ago, but yes, it's been confirmed.
What is it?
That Watershed, the festival that I love, that takes place every year in July at the Gorge, has been canceled. Although they're calling it postponed because it's been postponed till next year, but I'm pretty sure that means canceled because it's now not happening this year. But
so no Watershed. But,
right.
Well, now this is a problem for me.
I know. I mean, not a problem. I mean, it's your gift is rolling over.
For Christmas, I gave Nicole. I said I will pay for your Watershed ticket and the camping, your share with all your friends of your camping fee, and so I Venmoed. Because Brandy Cruz was going to honcho all of this, as I understand it, for you and your friends, right?
Well, her boyfriend was, yes.
Okay. So I Venmoed Brandy 400-some bucks for your Christmas gift. Brandy's sitting on the money, and you're not going to get to go to the show now.
So the money's already been spent. They're just rolling over the tickets. So that she has the tickets. They're just rolling them to 2021.
So I shouldn't get my money back from Brandy?
No, you're not getting your money back from Randy.
Well, no.
It's a very generous gift. I'm very thankful, and I'll be thankful next year.
But now you didn't have a gift from me. Did I give you anything else for Christmas? I don't even remember.
You did, my watch.
Oh! The Apple thing.
Yes.
The Apple Watch?
You were very generous.
That's right. No, I forgot about that. No, I was afraid that you were getting... No, I was afraid you ended up with nothing from me for Christmas if this was canceled. I forgot about the watch. I truly did. Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes. You're a good
All right. Okay. It's news. And then the Big Lead of Two is coming up next here at the Dory Monson Show. 2.7 seconds.